So can you tell me about the re-entry plan that you came up with and how it came about?
Yes. We have just released our re-entry plan to our community. It took about 7 weeks to create. Had about 38 staff members at all different levels working together. Ran it through some of our community groups. I have a faith-based leadership group and a PTO president's group and a superintendent's advisory group. And so as we were working on that, ran it through those groups to get some feedback from parents and community members on what they thought of it. So we've had a nice process, very well thought out. June 30th, we had a Google Meets meeting or a Zoom meeting with about 54 people, including the folks around the committee and others that were invited in to review it, sort of a last chance to sort of vet it out. So this has been put together over that period of time with some very careful consideration to make sure that we're keeping our students and our staff and visitors to the building safe. It's probably very similar to other plans that I've seen that are coming out about this time. We're real pleased with it. We're excited that we think it's got some good components. I'm more than happy to share those components with you right now, if that's what you like.
Please okay. do.
So I think there are a couple of pieces that are very important to our parents. First of all, Maryville Community Schools are going to offer two options. You can send your students back to school in that traditional five-day-a-week, what we call brick-and-mortar in the building, and we look forward to having your children back. Or they can make a decision to continue with a distance learning plan. And the distance learning plan would be for those that are uncomfortable or feel their child has a medical reason that they don't want them to come back in to be close proximity. That actual distance learning plan program is under development with our professional staff right now. It will be slightly different than our e-learning plan that was occurring last year when we closed on the 16th of March. You know, we announced it on the 13th, and nobody was coming back after that. This one will be more rigorous. It's aligned more closely to the standards. Our goal is that the students that are doing the distance learning are getting the same Indiana standards, the same instruction, the same expectations for learning and knowledge. Our staff have the same expectations of engaging with our students, that there will be instructional components and some time to help the child. They will receive grades as if just the same as students will be in the classroom, with the whole goal that at some point we hope this issue is resolved and that those students will be migrating back into the classroom with us, and they'll be in the same location as the students that are in the building in their learning continuum. So if you're a third grade student and you do distance learning, when you come back and your family feels comfortable to have you come back and join us in the building, you'll be in the same location as the third graders that were in the building learning at the same time. So we're hoping that providing that service for our family provides them with a choice that they can make. We will be sending out a survey and asking folks to fill it out and return it to us by the 24th. That survey basically asks, are you wanting to do distance learning, or do you want to do the traditional? Because we need to get a sense of somewhat of an enrollment. How many kids would be at home? How many kids will be in the building? That has staffing implications, have programming implications. We will also be asking parents on that survey, will they be using bus service? The buses, when you ride a bus, you will be assigned a seat and you will be required to wear a mask when on the bus. And so we're trying to get a sense of how many people might be riding the bus. We've made additional plans in all the buildings for additional increased amount of traffic. We think more folks will be bringing their children to school and dropping them off as opposed to riding the bus. But we are asking, please register and let us know if you're going to be riding the bus or not. And then that way we helps us with our routing, but it also helps us make plans on how many kids might be dropped off and what the capacity of that bus would be, and let us space kids out if possible. So as you can see, just to recap, the first part is parents will have a choice for traditional, come to school, or a distance learning, and they'll get more information on that distance learning, and they will be asked through a survey to let us know which way they want to do their programming so we can make some decisions. The other component that's important for our plan is all our students, staff, and teachers will be required to have a mask with them at all times. There will be times that they will be required to wear a mask riding the bus, when there's movement in the hallway walking around, when social distancing is not available due to the programming that's being provided. If a teacher is working with a child, both the teacher and the child would need to have their masks on. And so there will be times that they are required to wear masks during the day. There will be times that are built in that they will not be required to wear masks. When they're in the classroom and all the seats are, we're working to have all the chairs facing forward, all the desks facing forward. We're in the classroom, all the chairs are facing forward, and the teacher is instructing from the front of the room, the students will be allowed to take their masks off as long as they're not working with each other or talking with each other on something. The minute they need to start to work with each other, and our teachers do such a great job of having kids working together, they would have to put their masks back on. So the mask question is important for folks to know, that they will have to have one with them at all times, and there will be times that they can have them off. When you're at lunch, you're going to have it off. When the social distancing is available, or physical distancing, and when they're, like I said, everybody's sitting facing forward and the teacher's instructing, those types of things will be available. Our plan is on the web page. We drafted it as a working draft because it is a living document. We will adjust it as we learn more, get more information. We're working very closely with the Lake County Department of Health, the CDC, our teachers, and everybody that needs to be involved to make sure we're safe. Water fountains, one of the things people have asked, our water fountains will be turned off, but there will be water refilling stations. Our lunch service will be adjusted. We are reducing the capacity of the cafeterias. So what happens is there will be fewer students sitting at the tables to give spacing. Some students will be eating in classrooms with their teachers or somebody supervising them. Some students might be eating, like at the middle school, we can open up a movable wall and students can eat in part of the gym and increase the amount of space. So we're providing spacing. Students will be cohorted together as much as possible. At the elementary, it's much easier. If you're in Mr. Brown's fourth grade class, you're only going to be with Mr. Brown's fourth grade class. We're not going to mix the classrooms together. They're not going to be on the playground together. They will eat as a class in the cafeteria or in the classroom together. So limiting the student interactions as much as possible. They'll walk down the halls in the group. We'll try to create some signage in the hallway so folks know to walk in certain directions at certain times to just give space. We understand that the masks and the space and the continual additional cleanings will be there. Our buildings will be cleaned. High-touch areas will be cleaned throughout the day constantly. There will be deep cleaning each evening. Buses are cleaned before and after each route. Visitors, we're not allowing visitors unless it's an appointment where, you know, parent can make an appointment to come in. If a visitor comes to the building, they will have to be temperature checked, hand sanitized, and wear a mask before they have access into the building. And then we would also ask them to hand sanitize before they reach for the door when they're leaving. We won't be doing field trips until further notice. We also won't be accepting outside field trips. Maryville's a wonderful district that has a planetarium that will not be available to outside districts. We'll only be using it for our students. And it will be adjusted slightly again. So we want the Mr. Brown's fourth grade class will get a chance to go to the planetarium, but they won't go with two or three other classes at the same time as they had in the past. So gives us some more distancing and some spacing. We are looking at considerations for attendance. I know that many places we have like perfect attendance awards, things that we're going to kind of suspend some of those. If you're not feeling well, we have outlined on the plan what the CDC recommends are some of the symptoms. But if you have those, we ask you to stay home. If we have a staff member that has those, we ask you to stay home. We have clear protocols from the Lake County Department of Health and CDC on if you're tested and you're positive, what the protocols will be. All of those will be available for parents on the website. They'll be communicated. Our students and staff will be educated on how to wear a mask, how to appropriately clean your hands. There'll be additional hand sanitizers available for folks in the buildings. The other thing we're doing is we're not sharing materials like you consider in an elementary. You go to art room, you have shared art supplies. We're asking that each person will have their own art supplies stored in their own bag or art box. That type of practice will continue in other classes as well. We will do the best we can at the high school for shared materials, but some of our courses, such as the welding, things of that sort, they have to have some shared materials, but those will be cleaned in between. We'll have extra cleaning on computers that are shared or used by students, and so we'll continue with that those practices to make those as safe as possible. We're excited. We think it's a good plan, and we think that we can maintain a good, safe environment, and we're very pleased to offer the two choices and appreciate the board's support on offering the two choices of you can come or you can continue distance learning. The distance learning details will come out probably closer to August so people can see kind of how that's working. We really need to see the information back from that survey from parents on who's coming so we can then program and staff it appropriately. Those are basically the highlights that we have at this point. I think I've covered most of that. There is a, we sent out to our parents today, but there is a one-page flyer that covers the highlights, and then there is an executive summary that covers that. And then the actual document, which is about 45 pages, is on the webpage via a link. I'm currently working on questions and answers, working out what I think people may have a question about this and what the answer will be. That should be up and ready for our community probably Monday. We'll get it finalized here shortly. And then there is a link for folks to send in questions. And when they send in a question, they'll get a response to go and look on the frequently asked question piece in about 48 hours to see their response. We'll put it. We'll try to answer as many of those as we can, and then we may individually answer a question that might be specific for a particular student. If somebody asks about their child and their specific situation, we would not put that up on there. We'd reach out to them or have somebody reach out to them and give them an answer. But that's kind of where we're at.
Well, that's very comprehensive. I really appreciate all the information. Is there going to be a cap on the number of students that you're going to allow back into the physical school?
No, that's going to be a choice of the parents, and we will accommodate and meet those. We do, when you mentioned that, would we put a cap? No, we wouldn't. We would take advantage of if we have a number of folks do the distance learning, and that means we can spread our students out within that grade level in that building or a particular class in that building and reduce the number of students to teacher. We'll take advantage of that. And the one piece I forgot to mention was we are also not allowing outside groups to use the building at this time. So let's say somebody had a community group, their neighborhood group, and they wanted to meet. Many times we try to accommodate that, but at this point we're not going to accommodate those requests just so we can make sure we have time to appropriately clean the buildings in between each day's use.
What are you going to do if everybody chooses to distance learn and nobody chooses to come back to school? I mean, I know that's probably unlikely, but just, you know, hypothetically.
That would be a big surprise. I do think we'll have a percentage that select the district distance learning. We will address that if that were to occur, if the percentage was higher than we anticipated. It is being provided as an offer to do that. The governor was kind enough to say that if you were doing distance learning due to COVID, that it would be fully funded. There was a question for those that may not know that some distance learning programs are not fully funded by the state, but they did say for schools they would fully fund 100% the ADM for programs that are set up that way. It would be a challenge. We would find some way to do that, but we would meet that challenge and we'd try to honor those requests. On the distance learning, I don't know if I mentioned it, so I'm going to jump in here. One of the things we are letting folks know, if you select the distance learning, it is for that trimester. So, you know, you can't select it this week and then not next week and then go back. When you make the decision for distance learning, you will need to stay with that for the trimester. That is for programming and staffing purposes as we go through that. But people will have an option to come back through the year near the end of the trimester. We'll come back and ask them, do you wish to continue or are you going to come back to the school to the five-day-a-week thing? And that all may change, you know, if something miraculous happens and people get have a better feeling that their children can come back and there's appropriate treatments or vaccines, we will follow through that. But to your original question, we will find a way to solve that problem. I've got a great staff that can pretty much solve anything. I've been really impressed with them. And I got to tell you, I've been so impressed with our community and our parents. Very understanding, very supportive, very interested in what's best for their children, very interested in high expectations for their children's education, but really have been appreciative of folks' patience as we've been putting this together and appreciative of some of those folks in the community that have been helping guide some of that work. So we will make it work and it will be successful.
Are these changes, these social distancing measures and the cleaning measures here to stay?
I think longer than people think. You know, I don't want to commit us that we would do the physical. We're trying to change from social to physical distancing just to send the help the kids understand it's about physical space. But we really think that social or physical distancing is something that we'll be visiting, even if, like I said, there's a green light and everybody's starting to come back, just to help provide another layer. I think it will be with us at least this year, and then next, not necessarily the virus, but those practices. I think those practices may fall over into next year, and we will be changing what we do in education, I think, because of this. I do think there'll be more hand sanitizing and hand cleaning, which is an excellent practice anyway. I do think that social physical distancing will occur, especially between cohort groups of kids. Like if you're bringing one class in for lunch, the next class might stand 6 feet away before they go through. So I think some of that possibly will continue. I do think it will be this whole year, but I even think just our normal practices will slightly adjust. We're just more cognizant of the ability of something like a virus to spread, and so we'll be more cognizant of and understand how our hand-washing protocols and our social distancing and things of that sort actually help a great deal keep us all safe. So I do think there'll be some of that will stay with us.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Superintendent Brown. Appreciate the information.